Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:24, that's Pacific Summer Time, and today is Friday, September 9th. And of course, being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. This has been a very eventful week, and I think it can all be traced back to the actions of central bankers. And perhaps that's quite appropriate, considering that it has been the actions of central bankers that have helped to inflate asset prices. It isn't really just that we're talking about stocks or bonds or indeed property, but rather overall asset prices have been inflated by central bank policy. And it isn't any one particular central bank, but I suppose it was the Fed was the one that started off the whole process. And they are still the largest central bank in the world, and obviously it is to the Fed that everyone else looks to. Well, Mario Draghi this week said that the ECB wasn't about to rapidly increase the size of monetary accommodation. And the ECB doesn't have the same largesse or the ability to dole out cash that the Fed does, and one of the primary reasons for that is because it is limited in what it can buy. There isn't a liquid asset-backed market in Europe, and therefore there are no mortgage bonds except for the German Pfandbrief, and obviously the German mortgage market is the least need of assistance within the Eurozone. So there isn't a great argument for them buying the Pfandbrief. Then they have limited the quantity of bonds they can buy from any particular sovereign by how large an economy that sovereign has relative to the rest of the EU. That's where Italy comes in, because it has a comparatively large economy, but it has a wall of bonds that dwarfs the size of its economy. Therefore, what we've seen is that Italian bond yields have come in considerably, the spread over bunds has contracted considerably, and there is no value there anymore. When we really think about it, why on earth would one want to own an Italian 10-year bond when you could own a 10-year German bond and pick up the pickup is only about 100 basis points, and there are some significant differences between those two jurisdictions. Now, when we look at what's happening with the Fed, and the Fed are looking at a whole range of different measures, and obviously one of them will be unemployment, and employment and participation have been improving, and I think by any definition there are a lot of people now employed within the US that were not employed 5 years ago. Then wages are very slowly but surely beginning to increase, but they did pull back at the last reading at the end of July. When we look at other measures, then the Fed will also be cognizant of the fact that asset prices have increased substantially. Friends of mine put up their house for sale last Friday, and it was sold a day later on Saturday. They had three offers within 24 hours, and they were able to close for more than they asked. So that's an indication of a hot market. But of course it's a hot market because we have extraordinarily low interest rates, and that means that people can borrow more, and if you can borrow more, you can afford to pay a higher price for just about anything. And that is as much the case in the property market as it is in the stock market, and that was also a point that Warren Buffett made at the general meeting this year, and it was along the lines that if interest rates stay very low and monetary accommodation remains easy, then the likelihood is that stocks would float higher. And that was used as one of the rationales behind paying all-time highs for the S&P 500, despite the fact that we have had consecutive quarters of lower earnings. And I've posted a rather interesting chart in here today. It's from Jeff Gundlach's latest presentation, and it shows just how bullish the earnings forecasts are for the fourth quarter. Now, if indeed earnings do come in at those outsized levels, then we could conclude that earnings are perhaps turning, that we have ended this multi-quarter funk, and that the valuations that have crept up would start to creep back down, and that would justify higher prices. However, there is the possibility, and it is a real possibility, that those earnings forecasts are wildly out of line with the potential for the market to deliver them, and therefore the justification for paying high prices for equities is very much tied to where we are in the interest rate cycle, which is why the fact that the Fed, and it really does depend on which Fed governor you're going to talk to, but you're getting a very different set of answers to this question. But because of this asset price inflation, they have to know that they are dealing with the potential for another bubble in property, but most particularly a bubble in the bond markets. The disruption that has been created in the pricing of assets because of quantitative easing, and quantitative easing over such a profoundly long period of time, isn't something that's going to be unwound particularly easily. And therefore the Fed has got to be incredibly cautious. And rather than saying when they're going to raise interest rates, they need to be, I think, much more, giving much more sign to the market about the pace of interest rate hikes, because they started off this year talking about 4 interest rate hikes, and some of them are still talking about 2 interest rate hikes, and there are a number of people in the market today are talking about no interest rate hike this year. So then we are still in this environment where it is difficult to gauge, but what we have seen this week, and most particularly today in Wall Street, is that the very inert environment that has prevailed now for 6 weeks is over. And this is something that we've spoken about in audios this week, and it's something that we saw in precious metals in July. And it often happens that when you get a big breakout, then everyone is willing to pay more. More people are sucked into as the price moves higher, and nobody is particularly worried. But when prices stop going up, ranges are more boring relative to the trending phases. Then the other very important fact is that when they are more boring, it is that people stop buying. So that removes the source of demand from the market. And people are waiting for prices to go higher, so they introduce stops just in case they don't. And then some people lose patience and sell. Well, today what we saw was that the market spent most of the day down over 1%, but the S&P 500 closed down 2.45%. The Nasdaq was down 2.5%. So the S&P closed on the low of the day and had been declining all day. So what that says is that we're getting some selling pressure starting to come in, that the extraordinarily low volatility metrics that we've had for much of the last 6 weeks are over, and today's move on the VIX index gives us a very clear indication of that. Now, what it does suggest also is that your shares that were wildly overextended relative to the trend mean are looking increasingly susceptible to mean reversion. So personally, I opened a short in Nvidia today, really just betting that today's downward dynamic is likely a near-term peak, and quite potentially a medium-term peak, considering just how fast the price has risen over the last, well, since January. Now, when we start to take a step back, and I think this is important, that we are in an environment where the market has really developed a reliance on liquidity. So the Fed is talking about raising interest rates, but they're certainly not engaged in outright purchases of assets any longer. The ECB has been 100% reactive. They're looking at the European economy and thinking that they can keep their powder dry, that they don't have to act right away, that things have stabilized. But there are a number of uncertainties, because just in the next year, between now and September 2017, we're going to have a referendum in Italy. We're going to have the UK deciding to eventually leave the EU. We're going to have a Dutch election, a French election, and a German election. And these are going to be very big questions. And the potential for problems to evolve and for the ECB to be forced back into additional purchases, additional accommodation, I think is not just likely, but is perhaps the base case. And therefore, what we're presented with right now is a reversion to the mean in terms of yields. But in an overall bull market environment for euro bonds, for euro-denominated bonds. And that's probably likely the same case for the UK and for gilts. Whereas with the Fed, what we've already seen is that two-year yields have been trending higher for a number of years already, so have the five-year. And that also tells us that investors have felt pushed out into longer dated bonds when they've been buying sovereigns. But they've also been buying up lower quality bonds. They've been buying up junk bonds. They've been buying up distressed bonds. And that has worked for the simple reason, and this is quite simple, is because interest rates have been contracting and governments have been, and I suppose most particularly central banks have been extraordinarily active in these markets. And that isn't going to last indefinitely. Now, when we look at what's happening on stocks, we get a, when you have these breakout and then it's followed by a range, and you'll often get a swifter pullback to the mean. This is what we saw in precious metals in July, and it was that you had this inert environment, then it pulls back sharply, finds support in the region of the moving average, and then you start to bounce from there. And we saw that silver and platinum bounced from the region of their respective moving averages early this week. They gave up some of those gains towards the end of the week, but have continued to hold their lows. Then the big question for the S&P will be, it has now pulled back and it is only about 50 points away from the 200-day moving average, and if it falls the same amount on Monday that it did today, then it will have closed the overextension. It is already right in the region of the previous peak, so it's at a potential area of support. The next area of potential support is only about 2% away. Then the next area of potential support is the 2000 area, where the market rallied in July. Those are three important but quite close areas of potential support. If the market were to rally within between the 2100 and 30 and 21 or 2050 area, then we could say that this is nothing more than a consolidation in the region of the previous peak. If it were to pull back to the 2000 area, then that would be testing the progression of higher reaction lows and would suggest that we're going to be in for a little bit of additional ranging but a bull market environment overall. If on the other hand, the market were to sustain a move below 2000, taking out the July peak, well then the progression of higher reaction lows would have been broken. And that would suggest that we're at minimum into a medium-term correction, that we're going to be spending more time in a much more volatile environment overall. And right now we don't have a great deal of evidence to suggest that to really give us a conclusive answer as to which one it's going to be. What we can say is that when you pull back by almost 2.5% in a single day, that is going to make people sit up and pay attention. That we have been inured to the risks of volatility because prices haven't gone anywhere for over 6 weeks. Well, now volatility is rising. And that is also going to give central banks pause. That is perhaps the one thing that the respective Fed governors are going to take notice of and hopefully button their lips, that they're not going to be shooting their mouths off as we approach the central bank meeting on the 20th. Now, let's just veer away from that for the moment. If this is a near-term peak for stocks, then some of the shares that are way overextended on the upside are more likely than not to experience some form of consolidation. So personally, I shorted Nvidia in here today, but of course the other big share that has been very overextended on the upside has been Amazon. And Amazon this week got up to test the 800 level and finished out the week at 760. Now, the progression of higher reaction lows is still intact, so it could rally next week. It could remain in this trending environment overall. But if we get downside follow through next week, that will signal a peak of at least near-term significance. And I think that is the primary message. It is that anything that has been rallying is likely to experience some selling pressure in here. And there was very much an air of all change to the markets in here today, because just about everything was lower. And the dollar was, against all of that background, the dollar was a little bit stronger. So the least volatile market in here today was, in fact, the currency markets. But bonds were weaker, the precious metals were weaker, and stocks were weaker. Now, Europe was down, but not in the same kind of dynamic way that Wall Street was. And that's likely to be corrected on Monday, because we can already see what happened, for example, in Brazil, where Brazil was down 3.7% today. It got right up to test the 60,000 area, and now we're going to get some consolidation following what has been really quite an impressive move overall. That would suggest that we're going to get bigger declines in Europe and Asia on Monday. And then people will be looking to what happens on Wall Street when it opens. But it does look like we're in an all-change environment overall. And then we look at what are the assets that have done best. And oil prices, having really surged in the beginning of this week, pulled back pretty sharply in here today. So Brent crude, having got almost right up to $50 earlier on today, it opened at $49.63. It closed out the day at $47.88, so down over $2. And that continues to be in this rangy environment overall, this environment where which has been characterized by a volatile range, which is what we anticipated following what had been a very powerful short covering rally. Now, when we look at the short covering rally, then we could anticipate that there is going to be a ranging phase. We're in this ranging phase. We're now, we've gone from the lower side to the upper side in less than a week, and we could just as easily go back down to the lower side in a week. In precious metals, then, we had an impressive bounce on Tuesday, and it's taken about 3 days, and gold has unwound some of it, and platinum and silver have unwound just about all of it. They had also been the ones that had pulled back most before, and they absolutely need to demonstrate that they can find support above their respective trend means if the overall bull market environment is going to prevail. Now, precious metals have got bull market characteristics for, and I think the most salient reason is that they are coming off of relatively depressed levels. That's also the case for a lot of the commodities. And commodities were not down in the same way today that they had been over the last few months. So the continuous commodity index has bounced from the region of the moving average in here this week. It was down about 1% in here today, but provided it can hold the low, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to support building in here. When we look at the precious metals, then higher US interest rates represent an obstacle. In an environment where you have so many bonds are trading on negative yields, then an asset that has no yield at all really does become attractive. So the potential for interest rates to rise would represent an obstacle to that. Then overall, when we look at the gold price. Well, interest rate rising is one thing, but if interest rates are rising, then potentially inflation takes off. And that is in fact what central banks need, considering just how many bonds are outstanding and how many bonds need to be refinanced or redeemed in the next few years, because we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. Then they need inflation. They need inflation, and they need interest rates to stay low so that they can reduce the stock and pay back the bonds in depreciated currencies. And overall, that's a bullish environment overall for the gold price. So in the absence of a sustained move below the trend mean, this continues to represent a bull market environment overall for the precious metals. Now, one of the reasons that the emerging markets have been doing so well this year is because interest rates have been so low everywhere else that the reasonably high interest rates that are evident in a number of those emerging markets are very attractive. And we've seen a substantial move into some of those emerging markets. Now, a number of them are somewhat overbought in the short term, so then the potential is that we get some consolidation, and not least because the Asian dollar index has pulled back sharply in here, and that is going to put some pressure on some of those emerging market currencies which have been so very firm. And then I guess we do have to think about what's happening with the dollar index, because it is still in a very rangy, volatile, and inconsistent trading environment overall, but it is still in this range, and the last dynamic was upwards, and that was today. It hasn't quite countermanded the downward dynamic that we saw earlier this week, but if indeed the Fed is going to raise interest rates, then the likelihood of the dollar going down is, I think, really quite low. When we step back and we look at the market such as it is, then we're still at this crossroads. We know that there's a bubble in the bond markets. We know that this is not going to end well, that the disruption and interference in the bond markets has inflated asset prices left and right. Now, there is a possibility that no one is really talking about, and it is that the Fed makes a mistake, raises interest rates, and has to double back and cut them again afterwards. That would be something that would really drive a move back into equities. Now, there is, of course, another, and that is that the Fed is correct, and that economic growth and is going to take off, that earnings are going to improve, and that they are right to raise interest rates because there is a risk of overheating, which would be good for corporate earnings and would justify higher prices. So this is a corrective phase overall, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're at a medium-term peak. There really is a lot of evidence to suggest that this is a bull market environment overall, and we would need evidence to the contrary to really question that. And most particularly, I think we do need to keep watching those bond prices, because if bond yields break their downtrends, and particularly on the 10 years, then that would be confirmation that the bond market is rolling over. That would be a very big deal indeed. When we take a big step back, we look right around the world, then the pace of technological innovation is having profound effects on not just the US or the European economies, but the global economy, because the disintermediation of the internet, the rapid pace of technological innovation is creating new dynamics within the global economy that I don't believe are being particularly well measured by various economic statistics agencies. That does create the potential that you're going to have a mistake made by a central bank because they don't understand the system that has evolved as a result of the technological innovation that has happened, and potentially that which is still coming down the line. From a global investor's perspective, the fact that once technology is created, it becomes global instantly, that the dynamics that are occurring in the energy market are so profound that we're unlikely to have an obstacle to economic growth from energy prices for the foreseeable future. And because governance is improving in the world's largest population centers, then the potential for the global consumer base to expand and to expand by upwards of 2 billion people in the next 20 years remains the base case. Those are very important bullish factors, and you can't have a bull market without liquidity, and central banks have been the providers of that liquidity for really the longest time. That also suggests that there is a wall of money sitting in bonds that could be more productively invested elsewhere. That is a potential source for additional liquidity when this bull market is reasserted. That would happen after the normalization of interest rates. I think we're just not there yet. So I think, you know, there is not a great deal of reason to panic in here, but we are in a corrective environment now, and there isn't any evidence, of course, since we're only a day into it, that it's over. But I think that this is going to throw up some very interesting buying opportunities, and particularly for those some of those emerging markets which have raced ahead and are now likely to experience the first big consolidation within a recovery environment overall. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for the weekend, and I'm going to wish all the best to all of you.